Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Well, you can tell by the music, it's or whatever that is, it's Thursday, and that means we talk technology on The Takeaway. And today we're looking at how technology is expanding the boundaries of the book. It starts with the ebook, sales of which increased 175% last year. And if things keep going the same way, it'll probably constitute about 25% of all book sales within 2 years. So is the rest of the world as excited about virtual publishing as we are here in America? We go now to BBC reporter Enkem Efejika. He joins us from London. And good morning, Enkem.
Hi, Lynn.
Ebooks, very popular here in the States. How about globally? How are they doing?
Well, they're just as popular around the world as well. I mean, put it this way, about seven years ago, just a third of a percent of the books read in the US were ebooks. And in Europe, that was much less than that. But the interesting thing is, it's not even necessarily in English-speaking countries or countries with Latin text. The place where these things are really popular is in Asia. And sales topped $500 million in 2009, that's of Japanese e-sale books. And there are estimates in research which suggest that the largest e-reader market by 2015 will be China.
Oh, my goodness. Now, let me ask you this question, Enkem. Do you know where, how people are using these e-books? In other words, is it, it's instead of regular books, in addition, at night, during the day? Any data on that?
I mean, it's not clear. For example, if you go on the tube here in London or on the bus, you can see people with these readers. But one of the things which is interesting is the way the different sorts of technologies have changed the way people read. I mean, you've got the Sony e-reader, you've got the Amazon Kindle, and you've got the iPad, which is supposed to revolutionize the way that we read books. And that's all down to the technology. So, I mean, if you look at the percentages, it's sort of difficult to tell. But there's a sense that this is a huge and growing proportion of the book industry. And quite frankly, the makers of all these technologies are learning as we go along.
Indeed, and only getting bigger. That was reporter Enkem Efejika from our partner, the BBC. Thanks very much to you.
Say one thing, trees everywhere breathing a sigh of relief.
Yeah, but not the battery world and all that. Okay, last Friday, more technology news. Here we go, folks. Last Friday, Lauren Meckling and Laura Moser began an unusual experiment. They published the first three chapters of their young adult vampire novel, My Darkling, on Slate.com. And every Friday for the rest of the summer, they're going to publish three more chapters. Here's what's unique about My Darkling. Each character in the story is not only being serialized, each character has her own online life outside the novel, including Facebook pages with photos, Twitter feeds, Wikipedia entries, and videos posted on YouTube. Lauren and Laura are here to tell us about their multi-platform novel. Wow. Ladies, welcome to you.
Hey.
Okay, Laura, identify yourselves when you speak, please, because I can't tell the difference from your voices at the moment. But you have written several young adult novels together over the years. Laura, let me start with you. What made you decide to write a multi-platform one?
Well, we both of us spend all of our days on the internet, social networking, in addition to working. And it just seemed to me, I'm very much a believer in old media, and my mother runs a bookstore, but it just seemed to me that someone needed to do something good with all of these, you know, platforms that exist. And because we write for teenagers, that's the community of people that is most, you know, online.
Okay, Lauren Meckling, let me go to you. Tell us about the ways that different media platforms are used in My Darkling.
Oh, it's a big honeycomb of fun messiness.
Messiness? Oh, I like messiness.
Well, the centerpiece of it is we were very careful to create it so that the backbone of it is just an old-fashioned, good, classic narrative. So people who just want to read the chapters can just go on Slate.com every Friday and read the latest installment. And then there's sort of another parallel level, which is running on Facebook, where the protagonist, Natalie Pollock, has a Facebook page on which she updates her photographs and her, you know, 80-character thoughts throughout the week so that people who are also following the Facebook page are able to get little blips and tastes of her daily life, and they can kind of wonder, you know, what is she referring to? Why is she in a bad mood? And then...
And take it even further. And you've also done a video. Let me play a little bit of that first. This is from the Jenna and Natalie show on YouTube.
We are getting ready to go to an open casting call for my favorite book,
Dark Shadows.
Great. And then we get to go shopping after, and I'm going to get some really cute stuff. But anyway.
So these are the characters in your book, Jenna and Natalie. Is that right, Laura?
Yes.
Okay. So
those are two of the main three characters.
Two of the three main characters. Okay, fine. So did you hired actors to be... I mean, you've made a little movie while you're making a book.
We've made lots of little movies. And the great thing, we didn't have to hire anyone. We got high school students who are big readers who... wanted to do, you know, they actually volunteered themselves to play these parts and have thrown themselves into the acting, and they edited the films themselves. They take most of the pictures themselves. They're fully our partners.
So, Laura, I have to ask, you know, traditional books, of course, are a one-way medium. You read the book and you get the story. Facebook, Twitter are interactive media. You know, with your characters having Facebook pages and Twitter, how long is it going to be before your fictional characters start reacting to real-world comments and real-world interactions? Those lines are going to get blurred pretty fast if you let them, right?
Laura?
Yeah, we're ready for them to start.
having real people become part of the fictional narrative.
Right. I mean, the idea of putting their lives on the internet wasn't particularly that we wanted to make a choose-your-own-adventure style story where people would be voting in. It's more that as a fiction, obsessive fiction reader, something that I noticed is that even though in real life we spend so much of our time on the internet, that's very poorly represented in real fiction. Most fiction writers try to keep the internet out of the story as much as possible. So we were just using this as a way to provide texture to the characters and acknowledge that, you know, even if we're describing a, you know, in-person scene where two people are talking to each other, of course, Natalie also spends a lot of the time posting things on her Facebook page and such. So it was more of a way of rounding out this world than it is a way of trying to bring the real world into the story.
So it's really fascinating. It's called The Darkling, and we've been talking with Lauren Meckling and Laura Moser, co-authors of this multi-platform program, video, book, you name it. If you'd like to follow along with My Darkling on all its different platforms, you'll find all the links on our website, thetakeaway.org. Please join us in the conversation. And, you know, Todd, I used to just like to read a book, but I guess that's so last century.
It seems to be quickly becoming passé. I am waiting for these fictional characters to start reacting to the real world comments. It's going to be fascinating.